you for the invitation to preach here this morning. And I thought I was going second. I thought Pastor McLean was first. So I've got here in my notes, thank you, Pastor McLean, for that good message. So I'll thank you in advance for that. It's good to see Pastor Eagles here. We worked together here for several years. I tell you this little story. One time we had to go scrap this old bus that we had here at the church. Remember, we went up to that old scrap yard up the Cockshut Road. And with this old bus and my little pickup truck. And man, it was the yard was all full of mud. And the most miserable worker there, he hopped in this big four-wheel drive loader and picked the whole bus up and wheeled it around. And we wanted the back tires off the bus. And he says, barks at us, "Well, I'm not taking them off myself." So we're there in our dress clothes, of course, trying to help him take these tires off the back of the bus. And I was going to give him a gospel tract, but I was afraid he'd throw it back in my face and make me eat it or something. He was so grouchy. But he softened up a little bit, and we got out of there. That's just one story. You know, I still have those old dress shoes at home that were covered in mud. I couldn't bring myself to throw them out. They were good shoes. But I've never cleaned the mud off them, though, either. I've still got them. I'd like to commend Pastor Walsh this morning for taking this step of ordination. And it's good to see you here today, and God bless you and lead you in your future. I had the privilege of working with him here at Bethel, I think, for 1 year. That's why it was a blessing. It was just for 1 year. And we like to pick on him. We're wearing the same suit this morning. That was by accident. I almost thought I'm going to go home and change before. He called me a few weeks ago on his cell phone. I said, "Where are you?" He says, "I'm underneath the baptistry tank. I can't figure out these valves. How do you shut them off so I can get the tank to fill up?" So, it's been a while, I can't remember. So I'm trying to help him get the valves working, but no, it's good. It's appreciate Brother Walsh. I love him a lot. You young people in the school, it's good to see you here. And the teachers, a lot of great memories. And starting to get a little choked up there this morning when I was listening to the girls sing. What a blessing that was. I appreciate that special. I'll tell you one little story. When the first year I was here, I believe it was the first year, Austin Judge was in kindergarten. And what grade are you in now, Austin? 11? 12? Austin Judge was in kindergarten, and I had to, Mrs. Simmons, the kindergarten teacher, was away on holidays. So I had gone over there for some reason or other, substituted for an afternoon in the classroom. And Austin and this other little fella, Jacob Fraser, we were doing reading circle, and they wouldn't stop messing around, and I was trying to get them to settle down. Finally, I think I put the two of them in corners. Separate corners. I thought, well, the Lord has not called me to be a kindergarten teacher, that's for sure. So I'll stick with the high school kids. My text this morning is Joshua chapter 4. If you turn there with me in your Bibles, please, Joshua chapter 4. And we'll begin reading at verse 18, Joshua chapter 4. Will you stand with me, please, for the reading of God's Word? We'll read down from verse 18 down to the end of the chapter. And if you'd just follow along with me as I read Joshua chapter 4. Verse 18, "And it came to pass, when the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place, and flowed over all his banks, as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal, in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you, until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever." Let's have a word of prayer together, shall we? Heaven, I thank you for this time together that we can come before you. I thank you for your word that you've given to us, and that your Holy Spirit to guide and direct us. I pray, Lord, you speak to our hearts now from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. At our church in Newmarket, we've been doing a series on the book of Joshua on our Wednesday night Bible studies. And what a great book Joshua is, and thoroughly enjoying it. There's so many great truths and principles in there about walking by faith and trusting God, obeying God, and there's principles about victory and defeat and dealing with sin, leadership principles for us as pastors, and on it goes. And you remember the history of Israel and Egypt. how they came up out of Egypt, and the previous generation to this generation that came across the Jordan, that previous generation came to Kadesh Barnea, where the 12 spies went into the land, and 10 returned with an evil report. And the people perished in the wilderness, where they wandered for 40 years, because they would not believe God, they would not trust God, and go into the promised land. And then you have the next generation. The Bible tells us in Judges chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. And also all that generation, that's this one here in the book of Joshua, were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And as you know, the book of Judges is just a continuing cycle, filled with repeating of departing from God, sin, bondage, then they cry out to God, then there's deliverance, and then they depart from the Lord and fall into sin again. And the cycle just repeats itself. But here in Joshua, you have a generation that was willing to follow the Lord wholeheartedly, a generation that was willing to step out by faith, a generation that was willing to follow Joshua. And God gave them great victory, and God blessed them mightily. Joshua chapters 3 and 4 give us the account of the crossing of the Jordan River, when God miraculously held back the waters of the Jordan. As soon as the priests put their feet in the water, the priests that were carrying the ark, the waters went back and were held back. And the Bible says all the way up to the city Adam, which is about 15 to 20 miles upriver from where they crossed, as far as we can tell. The Lord then commanded Joshua to have 12 men, one from each tribe, to go into the riverbed and pick up a stone, each one a stone. And as it says in that passage that we just read, and they set those stones up in Gilgal as a memorial. And they actually set up a second pile of stones right in the middle of the river, right at the spot where the priests had stood with the ark. If you look with me at chapter 4 and verse 9, the Bible says this, Joshua chapter 4 and verse 9, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. And then the other set of stones they put in Gilgal, the Bible records in chapter 4 and verse 20. The title of my message this morning is, What Mean These Stones? What mean these stones? As the Bible says in verse 21. These stones stood here as a memorial, as a reminder that God had brought the children of Israel across the Jordan and into the Red Sea. You know, maybe some of the Israelites were so cold-hearted and so unimpressed with this act of God of drying up the Jordan River that they didn't think there was any need to remember it. Maybe there were others that were so deeply moved and impressed by it that they wondered how anybody could ever forget it. But God knows the weakness of the human heart and the human mind, and so he had Joshua put these two sets of stones as memorials for future generations, as reminders to the people, because people do forget. These monuments were not made to Joshua's credit, but to God's. You know, if they were man's idea, they likely would have made some fancy thing out of carved marble and maybe had a statue of Joshua there. And you know, it would have been all polished and smooth. But God said, just keep it simple. Just bring some stones out of the river and pile them up there. In our lives, you know, we need memorials in our lives. We need reminders of what God's done. It's my desire this morning, young people and pastors' wives that are here and all of you church folks and each one, just to encourage you this morning as we think together of some memorials. Think together with me of some memorials. You know, some people like to keep a journal or a diary. Some like to write down important dates in their Bibles, maybe the day they got saved or the day they surrendered their lives to the Lord or the day that God called them. Some people just keep things tucked away in their minds. And you know, really, God's word itself is a memorial, because there's all these accounts in the Bible that tell us of what God has done and stand as a testimony. We need these memorials, these reminders in our lives and in our ministries, where we look and we think and consider what God has done. We consider his faithfulness. As you recall, there was one pile of stones that was set up in the middle of the river. It's interesting because you think of that pile of stones in the middle of the river. I don't know how high it was, but you know what? It would be most visible. That pile of stones would be most visible in a season of drought. When the water level went down, that's when the stones would be most visible. And that's when we most need to stop and remember the good things that God's done for us. In times of drought, in times of difficulty, in times of hardship, in times of trial. We don't remember the great works of God, so we can live in a dreamland of the past, thinking that the best days of our Christian life are behind us. And I hope you don't think that way. I hope you think you're in your glory days now, and the glory days are yet to come in the future. We remember those things of the past as a point of faith, so we can trust God for greater and greater works in the future, because we've seen and experienced His past faithfulness. What mean these stones? What mean these stones? I've got a few thoughts this morning on that. First of all, they mean the mercy and grace of God. The mercy and grace of God. The Lord dried up the waters of Israel, dried up the waters of Jordan for Israel. And that was a great act of God's mercy. Israel had no other way to get the whole nation across the Jordan River into Canaan. The Bible says that at this time of year, the Jordan was overflowing its banks. It was in flood season. You know, you maybe could get a couple men across. We know that the spies had crossed the river somewhere to get into Jericho to spy it out. But you couldn't bring the whole nation across with all their flocks and their herds and their livestock and their children and the elderly. And it was an act of God's mercy and grace. You know, and as long as the priests stayed in that river holding the ark, the water was held back. And the people need not fear. From the youngest child to the most elderly Israelite, all could cross safely by God's grace, for the water was held back and there was dry land before them. Think back on your life to when the Lord saved you, to the memorial of your salvation. I trust that each of you here, each young person in the school, you have a memorial of salvation. You can remember a time in your life when you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and asked Him to forgive you of your sins. I know many of you have heard my testimony before, but I'm so glad that as a young man, 19 years old, I came to know Christ as my personal Savior and made a profession of faith when I was younger, as a child that I didn't understand, and just did it to kind of mimic and go along with someone else. But as I got into my teen years, I just wrestled and wrestled and wrestled constantly with not knowing and wondering and questioning. And finally came to the point when I trusted Christ as my personal Savior and received the Lord. You know, it's great to have a memorial of your salvation, to think back to when you got saved, and to think back to when God called you into His service. You know, that's an act of God's mercy and grace. You could be lost here this morning, drifting apart from God. As the saying goes, but by the grace of God, there go I. And we could be somewhere else. We could be in jail right now, but by God's grace and by God's mercies. The Bible says in Lamentations 3, verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Galatians 1, 15, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, by His grace. The first thing, a memorial reminds us of God's mercy and grace in our lives. Memorials also speak of God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. Look with me at Joshua chapter 4 and verse 10. Memorials remind us of God's faithfulness. I know, Brother Walsh, not to pick on you or not to, I know we're not speaking just to you this morning, but one of the things that's going to help you, brother, in the ministry to keep on going is to remember God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. In Joshua chapter 4 and verse 10, those priests stood there in the middle of that riverbed, and I don't know how long that was. Imagine it would have been most of a day until everything was finished, the Bible says. Joshua 4:10, for the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over until everything was finished. By God's command, they stood there because God was going to be faithful to see that His people got across that river into the promised land safely. God is faithful. Faithful just means trustworthy. Trustworthy. Philippians 1:6, my favorite verse in the Bible, being confident this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9 says, God is faithful by whom you were called. You were called into the ministry, men, by a faithful God, faithful Creator. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. When my wife and I left here, going on almost 3 years ago now, I can't believe this, time goes by. And the Lord led us to go up to Newmarket. We had gone up there to meet with the previous pastor who was moving on from another ministry that the Lord had called him to. And we were going to go out and look around the area for some housing. And he said to us when we were there, he said, we knew when we were going to the church, it was a small work and they would be able to pay us a little bit of a salary, but we may have to get a part-time job or raise some support. But he said to me that day, he said, some people have left the church. The church isn't going to be able to pay you anything. And I passed that news on to my wife, and she said to me, well, then why are we up here looking at houses? So I gave her the most spiritual answer I could at the time. I don't know. But we looked anyway. We wanted to buy a house, and that didn't work out. We came to the point where we realized we're going to need to rent. We're going to need to rent a house, and the church had already booked a vacation Bible school with evangelist Bill Smith, and some of you may know him. And him and his family of seven children. And so we had borrowed a camping trailer from Tony and Lori Baker, and we had it at a campsite up there in Newmarket, and we had VBS that week, and we still didn't, we wanted to move up there on Labor Day. So this was 2-3 weeks before we wanted to move. We still didn't have a house to live in yet. And about the middle of that week, we had a real estate agent that was taking us around, and we found this house, was close to the church, and we said, let's go ahead and put in an offer on it. And we're going to offer them $100 a month less than what they're asking for rent. We'll see what happens. Well, they accepted, and then we had to fill out a whole bunch of paperwork. And all this different application. They want to know, where do you work, and so on. And I put down Cornerstone Baptist Church, and it had written there, what's your salary? And I just left it blank. And then we were sitting down with the real estate agent for the owners. And she was going over the paperwork with us, and she says, I noticed here you left your salary blank. And I didn't say anything. And then all of a sudden she just changed the subject and went on to something else and started talking about our kids. Thank you, Lord. So we got the house rented, and we went up there, and I had to drop off 10 post-dated checks for the rent. I'd already paid first and last, and I remember writing those checks out and thinking, I don't even know where the money's going to come from to pay for these. But you know, God has been faithful. God's met our needs. I got up there and I knew we needed to get a job. And so I applied to some different places, Canadian Tire and Home Depot and things like that, and never heard back from anybody. And I walked into this bus company, school bus company, and I said, you know, do you have any openings or whatever? And right away they took me in, filled out an application. They said, we're going to start your training. They had a need for drivers. And I got a job there, and the Lord provided through that. And found out one of the ladies in the office there was a Christian. We had some good chats. She even came out to our church a couple of times and visited. And, you know, God met our needs. And God has been faithful. A few weeks ago, we had 52 out Sunday morning. And we had a young boy saved last Sunday in junior church. And, you know, God's been faithful in times of discouragement, man. When our service... Sorry about that. Times of discouragement when our service for the Lord sometimes seems difficult, remember the faithfulness of God. I just want to share those stories with you. I'm nothing, but God has met our needs, and it's amazing. Time after time, I could tell you things all day, how God has blessed and helped us. You know, and sometimes it's an uphill battle, and sometimes it's a struggle. We've seen some people come to the church, we've seen some people leave, but we're seeing things moving in the right direction. We're seeing God working. Listen to this verse, 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. We serve a faithful God, don't we? Memorials also remind us of the love of God. Of the love of God. Think back in your life to times that you've been in difficulties, times you've sinned, times that you've faltered and failed. God still loves you. As the young people just quoted a few minutes ago, Romans 8, 38 and 39. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Nothing. In verse 22, Joshua chapter 4 and verse 22. One of the reasons for this memorial is God wanted the future generations to know. In Joshua chapter 4, verse 22, He says, then ye shall let your children know, saying Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. Because God loves all people. He wants them to come to himself. He wanted the children to know his ways so that they could come to him and trust in him. Think of the love of God. Memorials remind us of that. Memorials also remind us of the power of God. Of the power of God. Verse 24 says this, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. That it is mighty. You think back in your ministries, men, have you seen the power of God? I know you have. Do you want to see it again? Amen. We all do. We want to see the power of God. We want to see it again. Memorials remind us of that. We serve the same God today that took these people across the Jordan River. Those many, many years ago. He has the same power. In conclusion this morning, memorials serve another purpose than just reminders of what God has done. Look with me once again at verse 24. At the end of the verse, we'll read the whole verse together. Joshua 4:24, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Memorials serve more than a purpose of just reminding us of God's blessings in the past so that we can feel warm and fuzzy. They're something that also should help us to fear the Lord, to help us to continue on. They remind us that we need to continue to fear him and to serve him. Our memorial of salvation we talked about a few minutes ago reminds us that we are bought with a price. You're not your own. Therefore, glorify God. Young people here this morning, you know Christ as your personal Savior. You have a memorial of salvation. You know that you've trusted Christ. You're not your own. You need to fear the Lord. You need to live for the Lord. He deserves that of us. 2 Corinthians 5:14-15 says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. As you think back of that memorial of salvation, that time when you trusted Christ as your Savior, remember, my life's not mine anymore. It belongs to him. I need to live for him. I need to fear him. What about men and ladies here this morning? And really all of us, because whether you're in full-time Christian service or not, you're all called to serve the Lord. Memorial of our calling. You know, we need to remember our responsibilities. 1 Timothy 4:14, neglect not the gift that is in thee. 1 Timothy 6:11-12, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Colossians 4:17 says, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. You know, man, you think of how God got you to where you are now and how he's brought you along and trained you and equipped you and put you in a place of service. Stay there in that place of service. Keep serving him. Don't quit. The Bible says that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Think back in your memorials of what God has done for you and how he's led you and guided you. And those memorials remind you of his grace and his mercy and his faithfulness to you and of his love and of his power. And use those to help and encourage your heart to keep on going for him. Don't quit. Don't quit. It's great to think back on memorials, but then we need to move forward. God's been faithful to me. He loves me. I've seen his power in my life. Now I need to move ahead and serve him. What mean these stones? What mean these stones? May God bless his word to our hearts this morning. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the memorials that you place in our lives. I pray that each person here today has a memorial of salvation. Each young person in the school and each and every one can look back at a time when they trusted Christ as their Savior. I pray, Lord, I thank you for the memorials of your calling in our lives, the memorials of your leading, the memorials of times that we can look back and see how you've guided and led us and equipped us. May we take those things, Lord, and use them as the Bible says, that we might fear thee and move ahead for thee. Bless the next speaker who comes, we pray. Bless this day together. In Jesus' name, amen.